If you have your Bibles now, we would like to begin here in John chapter 4. There are actually two sections in this chapter, Christ's ministry to the Samaritan woman, and that's what we'll be studying this morning, and that's found in verses 1 to 42. There is another miracle, which is Christ's miracle to the nobleman in verses 43 to 54. In one sense, both experiences involve miracles. For truly, the transforming of this sinful woman was just as wonderful as the long-distance healing of the nobleman's son. Now, as we begin this morning, let us begin here in the first few verses. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea, and he departed again unto Galilee. And he said, He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now something you might mark in your Bible that we would like to apply here, if you'll notice carefully, he must needs go through Samaria. First of all, we find out this, that in God's direction, there is a need, and God sends his servants there. Christ in this picture is going to give us a wonderful example of how to witness to a lost person. Another thing that we're going to see in this particular situation with the woman at the well is that I don't care what you think of somebody, how low they might be, how down and out they are, how immoral they are, or what their situation is, they can be saved. So many times I've heard people say, well, I've just given up on this person. That's the wrong attitude. And I'm glad someone did not give up on me. And I'm sure that you're glad that someone didn't give up on you. And God has taken some of the most vile people and transformed their lives by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that only Jesus Christ could do. And he's made wonderful saints of God that have been responsible for leading many to Christ. But here is the first thing that we can see concerning this. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, let me say this if I may. Do you know that God has a direction for you to go? Now, this was the direction that Christ must go. This was in God's foreknowledge, that he knew that this woman was there at the well, and he knew that she was going to be saved, but needed someone to take the gospel to her. So Christ did what God wanted him to do, and he went in that specific direction. Let me ask you this, and this is something I can never really understand. You know, you'll come to a section or a town where there'll be some good fundamental churches, and plump, a denomination will stick another right in the middle. I don't really see that's God's leading. I don't really see that putting two fundamental churches side by side is God's will to do that. But there are places in this country where that church could be effective. And to follow God's leading and God's will, to put a church right in the middle where there are other churches that are doing the gospel or giving the gospel and doing the job, I don't know if there's really a need there. But there are needs all over the country. And you know something? God wants you to go where there is a need. He may call you to be a missionary, but there is a need somewhere to go. God may lay it upon your heart to witness to this particular person or to go to this particular place, or you'll wonder, why in the world did this work out in this particular way? Well, God's using you and directing you because he has someone there that he wants you to witness to. Now, as we go on down, let's notice here, if you will, when he meets this woman. Now in verse 8, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now here's something interesting. The Samaritans were actually half-breeds. They were part Jew and part Gentile. As such, they were outcast and hated by the Jews. They had their own religious system in competition to the Jews. And they believed in the coming of the Messiah. We find that in chapter 4, verse 25. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus must needs go through Samaria in verse 4 because God had planned for this sinful woman to meet him and to find him, in him, the water of life. In the interview recorded, we can see the different stages by which this woman came to believe in Christ. Another lesson we can learn by this. is it doesn't matter. She said, how in the world do you have anything to do with me? So many times Christians are in churches and have this high and mighty attitude that, you know, they are just too uppity up and do not lower themselves. And instead of going out here to seek and save that which is lost, they go out here to condemn and run down that which is lost. And I could never figure out, you know, when a Christian says and goes to church and supposedly reads their Bible and claims to be a Christian, why they're out here criticizing the sinner. They ought to be out there to seek and to save the sinner. They ought to be out there. Actually, when you look at it, the sinner's only doing what's natural for him to do. It's natural for him to go out and drink. It's natural for him to go out and do it. He's just obeying the lust of the flesh. But he's lost. He's not saved. No wonder he's doing it. But I can never understand. We are Christ went to this woman. He knew full well she had several husbands. She was living with the man that now that she was with, but yet Christ thought enough of her, and he knew the possibilities of what this woman could produce and the testimony that she could have once she received the Lord Jesus Christ. So a lesson we ought to learn from this is, you know, there are a lot of people that think, you know, they look at Christians, some of the down and out or some of the low class people, they look at Christians think, oh, that big shot, and they won't have anything to do with me. Wherein like-minded, we ought to be kind to them and try to win them to Christ and never put ourselves in this high and mighty position thinking we are above talking to some of the low class or some of the down and outers. That's entirely the wrong attitude, and yet I've seen that in many Christians from time to time. Well, Christ didn't do that. Now notice here, if you will, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep from whence thou hast the living water. And here the woman's confused, but notice just how gentle the Lord Jesus begins to deal with her. And he's now coming to the point, and he's going to deal with her according to her sin, to let her know and face the fact she is a sinner. Now let me say this, if I may. She was confusing the spiritual with the physical, as many lost people do. She could not understand that he was talking about spiritual water and living water that would spring up into everlasting life. The only thing she could see, she was blinded to the spiritual things. And how true it is in Ephesians when the Lord says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. As long as you willfully disbelieve, your eyes are going to be blinded to anything spiritual concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. In order for your eyes to be opened, you must be open to the Bible. You must be open to Christ. And then, when you have a desire to know the truth, God will give it to you, and you'll be gloriously saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But until then, until that time of having a desire, you are just going to be blinded, criticizing, not having anything to do with God or the Bible or anything else, because you have willfully not had an interest into, or I should say, to even examine the things of God. Now, as we go on down, we find out here in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep from thence. Thou art that living water. And thou art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now, you know, just like in Luke chapter 16, the rich man thirsted after physical pleasures in this life, and he also thirsted again when he found himself in hell. Now, so many today are just thirsting after the physical things, trying everything they can to satisfy the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They will thirst again in the lake of fire. That will never satisfy. Some of the most miserable people who are alive are people who have money, who are well-to-do, who are well-off, and yet they are miserable because they are void of the Lord Jesus Christ. That empty place within them is not filled because it's not filled with Jesus Christ by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Thirsting in this life, nothing can ever satisfy except accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and having the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now let's go on down, if you will, in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water which I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Other words, it will keep the believer constantly refreshed and satisfied. And that's not saying when we're a Christian we don't have trials and troubles and tribulations. We do. We have heartache and we have sorrow just like a lost person. But we get the refreshing from the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We get the comfort in time of sorrow. We get the promises in time when we need encouragement. And we thank God that His Word is living. It is a well that constantly refreshes the believer and encourages him to go on and gives him hope because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go on. He saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Now that's sort of interesting. Go call thy husband and come hither. Very interesting, because now Jesus said that to her in order to bring her face to face with her sin. And let me say this. There is no one can be saved unless they realize they are a sinner. In Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until a person realizes, I don't care how good morally you are, I don't care how wonderful you are, you still have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was talking last week to a lady, and a very nice lady, and we were in her home, and asked her if she knew she was going to heaven. She said she thought so, and it was because she had not done anything bad. And that is true. There is no question, probably. If anyone could have made it to heaven on the good works, she probably could have done it. But then when asking her if she was as righteous as God, well, of course, that brought the realization that, no, there is no one as righteous as God. Well, you must be to have eternal life. And that was quite a shock. And that's the reason the Lord said that since I have broken the law, I couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. There's never been a person who kept the Ten Commandments, all of them from the time they were born, clear up until they died. And to go to heaven, you must do that. Keep all of the law. In fact, the Ten Commandments are only 10 of 720 or 30 that are given to the nation of Israel. But when I look into the mirror of the law and find out I'm a sinner, and then I find out that Jesus Christ did for me what I couldn't do myself. He came and fulfilled the law. He did for me what I could not do for the law to satisfy God. I broke the law, but the Lord Jesus kept it for me. And then he died to pay for the sins of my breaking the law. And therefore, since he was perfect and kept the law, he gave me his righteousness and took my sin and paid for it on Calvary. And in return for my faith, gave me the righteousness that I need to go to heaven, his righteousness. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I go to heaven on the righteousness of Christ. But here we find out the Lord Jesus is confronting the Samaritan woman for her to recognize she is a sinner. Now, we go on down in verse 17, and the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. And the woman said unto him, I perceive thou art a prophet, and I would too. If I had someone tell me all my past like that, I would perceive thou art a prophet, most assuredly. But this brought her to the realization that she was a sinner. Now we go on down and begin to find out here. In verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. In verse 20, she said, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. The reason for this was, what she said we worshipped in this mountain was, that her people did worship back in the mountain. In fact, clear back in Deuteronomy, we find out back there, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and Joshua chapter 8, what she was referring to, the mountain was Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Mount Ebal represented the Mount of Curse, and Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing. And when Joshua was representing and leading the nation collectively there to great victories, he always rehearsed the law, and in Joshua chapter 8, we find out that he took the Ark of the Covenant, put it between the two mountains, and he lined up the tribes on one side of the Ark, and half of the tribes on the other side. On the side toward Mount Ebal, he had Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, and on the side of the ark toward Mount Gerizim, which represented the blessing, was Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. and he lined them up and read the law, because in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 8, if thou shalt do according to the word of my commandment, I'll bless you. If thou wilt not hearken unto my words, then he lists all the cursings that will come. So, when the woman at the well, she was referring to their worshiping up on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and especially these events that took place. Their fathers did worship in these mountains here. Now, we go on here and begin to find where she trusts the Lord Jesus. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ, and when he cometh, he will tell us all things. Go up here to verse 29 now, if you will, and then we find out she went into the city where she was a resident, and she said in verse 29, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she was saying, she was not questioning, is this the Christ? She was saying emphatically, is not this the Christ? This is him. This is the Lord Jesus. Now, this woman believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me say this. This woman had had five husbands, one she was living with now, she was living in Morley, and yet Jesus Christ led her to the Lord, and she accepted. I don't care how down and out you are, how immoral you are, you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ today. You can begin a new life. Her sins were washed away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, something very interesting of what this woman did, and the disciples, they were more interested in going into town buying food than they were in this woman here. When they came back, they didn't say it, but Christ read their minds, and what they were wondering was, why in the world, Lord, are you fooling around with this woman here? She's a Samaritan. She's a half-breed. Nothing's good going to come of her. They didn't say it out loud, but the Lord being omnipotent, omniscient, knowing all things, he knew what they were thinking. Now, let's see what she did, and it's amazing what this woman did. First of all, she brought many people to Christ. She brought many to Christ because in two ways. First of all, by her own testimony, and then second of all, many came to hear Christ for themselves, and then they were saved, not because of her testimony, but because she had brought them to Christ, and they wanted to hear Christ for themselves. Now, notice in verse 40, if you will. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying. See, they didn't believe her. This is one group. For we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. So there was a group of people she brought to him that believed after they heard. Now in verse 39, there was another group of people that believed the Samaritan woman just by her testimony. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And knowing this woman's past life, knowing the situation she was living in then, they believed what she had said. Now, I don't care what you've done, you can have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, nobody will believe me because of the way I've been living. No, when you change your life and begin to testify for Jesus Christ, you are a miracle in the eyes of the lost, and your testimony, if your life backs it up, carries a tremendous power and influence for Jesus Christ. And it did with this woman, and it will with you. Now, as our time slipping away, I think it's interesting. We've looked and seen the woman saved represents anyone can be saved.
Our message always is, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. And there's nothing it'll take you to heaven except your faith in God's gift. His Son, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again just for you. And if you'll trust him, put your faith in him, he said, whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll take time to write. Remember our website again. It is www.heritagebbc.com. We'd love to have you write us and tune in there. Take time to write. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.